likely to be affected. For example, younger children, somewhat more than older. Emotionally disturbed children, more than healthy children. Violent children already, more than non-violent children. Children from broken homes and homes that make no attempt to teach values affected more than children from solid and intact homes, but all are affected. Children who watch TV alone will probably be affected more than those who watch with their parents. Please be aware that we are dealing here with averages, and I'm not saying that any individual child who watches TV definitely will be affected in the ways that I've described here. I'm saying rather that there is a significantly greater likelihood that he will be. I'm not saying either that TV is the only or the total source of negative effects on children in our society. There are lots of secondary effects that I'll be glad to talk about in the discussion. But I and most other social scientists believe that television is definitely a major.
Well, we're not discussing things that somebody else has done. We are looking at ourselves. And that's very difficult, but it's helpful. So let's talk about it. Questions? Yes.
James, how would you evaluate Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers? Do you have an opinion on those shows?
I really haven't watched it, so I don't know. And so I wouldn't want to say they're okay. I would certainly assume them to be a lot better than the violent and the...
Well,
and
I'd like to say a little bit on Sesame Street. I let my little boy watch that when he was about 4. After preschool, he'd watch it. It comes on 3 o'clock, I believe, here in the city area. There's some things about Sesame Street that disturb me. And I've watched it because, you know, I like to know my little boy is watching it. There's a lot of hollering going on. Ernie and Bert's always hollering. I holler sometimes, you know, and I don't like that. I don't like that in myself. I don't like it in them. There's a lot of rock and roll type stuff. They get this hollering and making a lot of that loud racket, which I'm, you know, you would think I'd be in line with some of that, but I'm not. I guess I'm a little old fashioned. But there's some things about Sesame Street that I don't like, but I think it's good that you talk to your child about what he has watched and stuff, if you are going to let him watch programs like that. Mr. Rogers, you know, I've talked to people about Mr. Rogers. He reminds me a little bit of you, you know, he's soft-spoken. like you could have a show along that line. He's real good with kids, and I think you are too. But now some people look at Mr. Rogers as only kind of a gay film. I don't know whether he's that or not, but you know, he is. He's easy and soft and, you know, he's gentle, is what I would call him. My kid, just, you know, he doesn't watch Mr. Rogers so much now. He seems like he's kind of grown out of that. He's 5. Mr. Rogers doesn't impress him anymore. But he really would listen to Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers has a lot of good things. He talks about violence and how it feels, you know, when he sees something that's violent. And I think, for the most part, that's a pretty good program.
As I said, I really have never seen those programs, so I don't know. But I think it's very wise to watch what your children watch and make sure that you think it's okay.
James, one statement that you said there that maybe you can elaborate on a little bit about little children and what they see is real to them. That's pretty alarming, even in view of what, I mean, Big Bird's a pretty big fella.
One of the things, I know you're not through.
Go ahead.
One of the things that he said about the level of emotion on Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers I think the level of emotion in our society has gone up significantly in recent years, and it's directly related to the fact that television programs have to crank up the emotion in order to get your attention. You rarely see people just sitting down and reasonably and gently talking about a problem. They're always yelling at each other and doing that. I think that is a bad thing in itself.
Excuse
me for interrupting.
No, that's fine. How about studies? Have any studies been done about undoing the damage television has done? For instance, like if no-tel, Unitel gets rid of their TVs, then what happens?
Well, I don't think that any city's ever got rid of it, so they couldn't study that. I don't think there is, but there have been some studies done in which they do anti-TV via TV. In other words, try to show kids a different side in the real life, and they can be indoctrinated with good as well as bad. So
the damage can be reversed.
Even like Husman wasn't saying that you can't undo it. He's saying that it gets started, and if it isn't undone, it lasts a long time.
Can you suggest some things that we can do? I mean, some more things than you were able to talk about there.
Well, I quit because I didn't have any more time, but I also was not sad not to try to deal with what to do just in the presentation. I really prefer that we do that as a dialogue. One reason is that we did such a poor job before. We dealt with it as a brotherhood by trying to disfellowship people and arguing about it in ways that were clearly ineffective. And I would hope, I really want the brotherhood to enter a serious dialogue about this, serious study, but I hope we don't get into the same kind of ineffective way of dealing with it before. But yes, I think there are some things we can do. And for one thing, if a family hasn't started it, my advice to them, like young families, don't. I believe you're far better off to just leave it off. I think parents then have to deal with their own TV habits. TV to a lot of people is like an addiction. Now, I don't believe it is to many of us. I don't have time to watch very much, and I don't think I would even if I had time. I think I'd find something better to do. But for many people, it's an addiction. It fits the description of addiction. Three characteristics of an addiction. One is that people keep on doing it even though it's harmful. You know, like every drunkard can tell you that drink is harmful to them, but he keeps on doing it. Every smoker can tell you that smoking is harmful, but he keeps on doing it. So that's one of the characteristics of an addiction. Another is an inordinate amount of time is spent either doing it or thinking about it. 4 hours a day is too much of anything other than sleep and work, so an inordinate amount of time is spent doing it. And the third characteristic of an addiction is that they structure their life around it. An alcoholic, even in the early stages, figures on where he's going to be in the evening based on whether he can drink there or not. In other words, he structures his life around alcohol. There are many people that structure their life around special TV programs and things like that. So if it has become an addiction, I mean, that is the worst signal, and it can become an addiction, so people should deal with it like that. I think one of the things most families could do would be at least get rid of multiple sets so that when it was watched as a family group, and you'd have much more control over it. I'm not saying that's all you need to do. I'm saying that would be one of the least things that could be done. And if you have adolescents who are addicted to it, I certainly would not suggest that you just go home and throw it out. There are literal bona fide cases of parents who have taken TVs out of adolescent rooms as punishment.
and adolescents did really serious sorts of things. Now, again, I don't want to make this worse than it is to this group. I don't believe that adolescents in the church are that way. But I do believe that when you take it out, you ought to put something better in its place. In other words, what I'd like to see families do is reassess how TV has made them change their lives, and then get rid of it, putting good stuff into place. In other words, family conversation, family activities, and things like that, Bible reading, rather than just throw it out and leave the house empty, which Jesus said in Matthew 12, that the devils found even more prepared when they went back and found it swept and garnished. Now, I'd like to leave that, Alan, and let other people talk about it.
Ray Powell.
Appreciate what you had to say. It was excellent, one of my hot-button kind of subjects. One question I would like to ask is, you've talked about things that are gross-type things, the far end of it. What about the more subtle things? And I'll just give you a couple of examples and let you respond to it. Number one, one of the things that really bothers me is in particularly like sitcoms. There's plenty of people that see absolutely nothing wrong with watching some of the sitcoms, and within themselves, they may not have any gross pornography, gross violence, etc., but just the way they portray the what they see as the typical family and how that has an effect on us. Second thing is cartoons. I've heard people say, well, there's nothing wrong with this cartoon, that cartoon, whatever. And are you familiar with a book called Turmoil in the Toy Box?
No.
This particular book written by a guy named Phil Phillips makes what I consider a pretty strong tie between toys and cartoons, and really ties in with the point that you made, the fact that children at a certain age can't distinguish between reality and fantasy. And what the point he was making is the fact that the real damage is done when a child watches these cartoons, then the parents buy these toys, and there's plenty of examples with people in this audience right now know about that's going on right now of that in our society right now, and I'll just mention it. Ninja Turtles is a great example. And it's been He-Man and She-Ra and a lot of other things, but when they start acting out those things in conjunction with the program, it's where he drew the conclusion that there was some real damage. And I just like to know if you have any comments about any of those.
Well, one could comment about all of them. Ninja Turtles is a good example. Do you know how that craze got started? Two or three men sit around and said, let's think of the wildest, most absurd sort of thing we can think of and see if we can make it go. And you know what happened. I read some material the other day about the effect of some of the media stars and people on adolescents. It just is really scary. Do you know who the average adolescent out there considers the most admirable woman in America? Madonna. And the reason they do is, quote, she does whatever she wants to do, which is an accurate assessment. But you see how the values have gotten across? So I think Joe said it very well this afternoon in his introduction to my talk, that even the more mild ones are not necessarily innocuous when you get down to thinking about it. Now, do keep in perspective, because I don't think we would be advantaged, any of our brotherhood, if we went off half-cocked. What I want us to do is take it as a serious thing to start doing and thinking about, support each other in doing it rather than start condemning each other, because we are nearly all in this together. And we need to take it on with that attitude rather than something to try to throw each other out about.
Did you have anything in particular regarding toys? Have you seen any studies? I mean, not toys, but cartoons?
Oh, well, a lot of these studies, I say a lot, several of the studies are about cartoons. Many cartoons are quite violent, for example. So they have all the characteristics of violence, televised violence, that others do. And remember, children take them as real. If they see it, it's real up until a certain age, and then for a few more years, until about 8, the tests show that a child really begins to evaluate the intent at about age 8 completely.
Alan, Bailey.
is there any dramatic statistics difference between animated cartoons and the violence that's associated with it, and then violence associated with regular people on these cartoons?
There is, and the principle is that the more real it looks, the harder it hits. That doesn't mean the other is totally innocent. It just means the more real it looks, the harder impact it hits, even to adults. Now, adults with their stronger cognitive input can look at a cartoon and probably not be very much affected by it at all. But adults can't look at really real scenes and be totally unaffected. They have nightmares about them and, you know, all sorts of responses to them.
Do the kids look at an animated cartoon and think it's real?
I can't answer that specifically.
Okay. Is there any good statistics for positive TV viewing that show any benefit to society?
Well, there is for some of the experimental programs that they have done specifically to try to reverse some of the things. It shows that they do get reversed. What is the most damaging, as you would see, is a regular diet of it, because it keeps the person continually charged up. And that's what many of the kids out there in the world have, just a regular diet of the worst kind of TV, and that's the worst effect.
What would your suggestion or advice be for medical shows like one that's very popular right now is 911? What would you say about it as far as the children viewing it and or adults as far as that goes, especially I'm thinking of the children?
I never watched that program, so I don't know what it's like. But
it's just basically reenactment of actual situations that occur.
Here's the problem with actual reenactments. They may not teach children anything that isn't out there, but they very well may indoctrinate them that more of it is out there than really is, which is damaging, and they may well have that hardening effect that we're talking about.
One other thought, I'll sit down. Is there any studies, pro or con, to one of the newest fads in like Nintendo, Atari, or any of these? How do they relate to the situation with television?
I feel certain there are. I remember vaguely reading some of those, but I concentrated on television, so I really can't answer that.
Hans?
You had mentioned a situation about children being able to distinguish reality. I don't know if people over here have heard, about 6 months ago, there was actually a small young boy who had watched Superman and had the parents had gone ahead and bought him an actual Superman outfit, and the young boy jumped out of a second story window. He was very fortunate that he was not killed, but it's something for us to really
story, isn't it?
It's very, very, it's a very, very serious situation when we're talking about these young impressionable minds.
There are dozens of studies, for example, of criminal youth, and 33% in one study said they actually were acting out scenes they had seen, and most of them were successful. So there's no doubt that it had knocked the camera over and begun to hit each other before they called the adult. Well, that's not the only kind of study that has been done. Three men by the name of Bryant, Carvath, and Brown did what they call the cultivation of violence test. Now, this was done on men, 90 men in fact, over a 6 weeks period, agreed to watch either no television at all or a great deal of specified programs. The men knew they were in a study, but they did not know what was being studied about them. One group watched no TV. One group watched 28 hours a week of violent programs in which the good guy won. The other group watched 28 hours of violence in which the good guy lost. The researchers call these situations no television, or television, or rather violence with justice, and violence with injustice. The subjects were tested for baselines of anxiety,
hostile attitudes, and expectations of whether they would be victim of violence before the test began. At the end, the three groups were tested again for anxiety, for perceived likelihood of being a victim of violence, and for hostile attitude. And the results were dramatic and a perfect progression. In fact, if you drew it out on scales, the no television group would be here, the violence with justice would be here, the violence with injustice would be here. Some authorities, however, reject laboratory experiments. They say that subjects are likely to know that they're in an experiment and to react differently than they would in real life. These authorities say natural settings are the only ones that really tell the tale. Well, fortunately, there have been some really good naturalistic studies as well. One of the ones at least that impressed me most was the one in which three whole Canadian cities were studied. In 1974, the researchers found a Canadian town, a fairly large town, in the Canadian mountains that had no television at all and never had up to that point, but was going to get television the next year.